Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim a year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to speak to them. "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And this is the gospel of the Lord. "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The name Helmut, I'm gonna practice pronouncing this for a while, Thelica, Helmut Thelica, probably does not mean a whole lot to you. Obviously, I'm not terribly familiar with his work because I have trouble pronouncing his name, but he was a fairly well-regarded theologian of the 20th century. He was German, as you might guess. He was the rector of one of their universities, so a smart, well-respected, and prominent scholar. And in his office, he had one item that he absolutely loved. You ever have something that you just don't want to part with because it brings up such good feelings and thoughts and memories for you? Well, he had something like that. It was a picture. And it was a picture of a nativity pageant. It had shepherds, it had angels, right? And the shepherds were in the process of proclaiming good news of great joy. And the shepherds were watching the angels and listening with a mixture of fear and wonder. And that picture meant the world to Helmut Thekla. Why? Let me give you a hint. It has nothing to do with the nativity pageant itself. In the gospel today, we'll get back to Helmut. In the gospel today, we find Jesus filled with the power of the Spirit, led by the Spirit. Let's look at what's happened to Jesus in the last few passages of the Gospel of Luke. First, he's been baptized, and the Spirit of God anointed him. The Spirit descended in physical form as the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And notice that this is a Trinitarian thing. Everything that Jesus does is going to involve the Father and the Spirit. He's obedient to the Father. He's led by the Spirit. He's filled by the Spirit. He's anointed by the Spirit. He's led by the Spirit. And so what happens next is the Spirit leads Jesus to the desert, where he's tempted and remains faithful and obedient to the Father. So it's not just that he's filled with the Spirit and he can do great things. He's filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit gives him courage to resist everything that isn't of the Father's will. And now he's filled with the power of the Spirit, and he's led to return to Galilee and begin his ministry. And we see a little slice of Jesus' life early on. First, we see that he goes and does worship, synagogue worship, every Sabbath. Luke says, as is his custom, he went to the synagogue. Jesus is a person of regular worship and prayer. And if we are to be his disciples, we need to be that too. And why did Jesus, the Son of God, filled with the Spirit, why did he need to go to the synagogue? He needed to go to the synagogue for everyone else. Because without him and his presence, they would be so much the poorer. And we see a little slice of synagogue. This is probably the earliest depiction in literature of what a synagogue service at the time of Jesus looked like. So Jesus was handed the scroll, he read from the scroll, and he sat down to teach. But listen to what he read. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is who Jesus is. He is Spirit-filled because he has anointed me to do what? To bring good news. The word in Greek means destitute, to the destitute, to those who have nothing. And who are they? Well, there's a lot of poverty in our world, isn't there? I mean, there's certainly physical poverty, and that's part of what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, if you're going to be my disciple, what my message is good news to the destitute. Don't leave the destitute destitute. Care for those who are having trouble caring for themselves. We can't all do everything. Each one of us can do a little bit, though. You know that story about the guy who's walking along the beach, and in the other direction he sees a kid picking up starfish and throwing them in the water? And he thinks it's sort of an odd thing to do, and when he reaches the kid, because they're walking in opposite directions, he says, "What are you doing?" The kid says, "I'm trying to save the starfish. It's, you know, the tide's out, and they'll die if I don't get them back in the water." The fellow says, "Well, there's thousands of starfish out here. You can't save them all." Kid picked up a starfish, threw it back in the water, and said, "Well, I saved that one." Find your starfish. But you don't have to be physically destitute to be destitute. You can be socially destitute. Think of all the people who have no one who care about them. They're in nursing homes. They're living alone. They might be our neighbors. Think about them. We need to bring them good news because Jesus is bringing good news to the poor, the destitute, those who are bereft of what is of value. You can be spiritually destitute. Think of all the people who have nothing of value in their lives. Sure, they have material well-being, but they're held captive by the material. They are as poor as you can get. Jesus says, "The Spirit of God has anointed me to bring good news to the destitute. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives." The word release here, aphesin in Greek, means to press the reset button. It doesn't just mean opening the cell door and, okay, everyone go now. It means a complete erasure of all that held one captive. There's a woman in the Philippines, I have heard a story about, who went to a priest. She said, "Well, I had an appearance, Jesus came to me." And the priest, doubtful of this, said, "Okay, next time you see him, ask him what my worst sin is." The woman came back a few weeks later, he said, "I saw him again." And the priest said, "Okay, what was my worst sin? Did you ask him?" She said, "Oh yes, I asked him." He said, "What did he say?" He said, "I can't remember." That is aphosin. That is completely erasing what was wrong. So this is total forgiveness. It's a new start to proclaim release, aphosin to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. And here he's talking about the healing. We've looked back at the word healing in Isaiah, which is where this verse is really lifted from. And it means a healing that involves not just the physical, but the spiritual. It's a healing that has the dynamic power of God involved in it, to give sight to the blind. What kind of suffering? Who's blind?
Well, they're the physically blind, right?
And they can't see, and that's a terrible thing. But in the gospel, the blindest of the blind are those who are spiritually blind. Those who don't see Jesus, who don't see God's presence, who are spiritually so dead that they live in the world oblivious to the love and the goodness and the beauty and the power of God that surrounds them. Barrett Browning writes in one of her poems, she writes, "The earth's crammed with heaven and every single bush afire with God, but only those who see take off their shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries." Don't pluck blackberries. But to see, you have to look. And to look, you have to be enabled to look. And what enables that? What enables everything that Jesus is proclaiming? Let me go on, just finish the list. To let the oppressed go free. There's that word aphesim again. To let the oppressed, whatever oppresses you, it's gone. It's you're liberated, totally liberated. You're a new being. And to proclaim a year of favor for the Lord, from the Lord, that the Lord loves us. A year of favor, like a jubilee year, is a year when everything's reset, when people are just free to be themselves again. What is Jesus saying here? Well, one of the things he's saying is that today the scripture has been fulfilled in your presence. He uses the perfect tense. The perfect tense, which says this is done and will, the significance of it will reverberate through history. Jesus is saying, I have done and am doing this. And how does he do it? He does it because the Spirit is upon him, because he's anointed with the Spirit. And that is the same Spirit with which you and I have been anointed. When Jesus went to the Father in his ascension, he says, it's important that I should go so that I can send you the Spirit. That Spirit has been in the church since then. It's been in you, it's been in me since the day we embraced Christ. We have the power to make all this happen. But we have to let the Spirit loose in our lives. Because the Spirit's job is liberation. The Spirit's job is transformation. The Spirit's job is change. The Spirit in the Old Testament, it's the Ruach Yahweh, the breath of God, the wind that you can't see. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes, but you sure as heck know it's there, because it has the power to move and to change, to destroy, but to help. It was wind back in those days that moved ships all over the place. So wind that's gentle gives us relief. Wind that's powerful changes things, it uproots stuff. And sometimes that's good too. The Spirit descended on Pentecost in tongues of fire. I had a fire in my fireplace the other day. I was looking at it. Fire is some funny thing. It's all over the place. You can't touch it. I would suggest nobody try. But it's flickering and it's going all over the place, and you don't really know where it is, but you sure as heck know it's there. And it destroys, but it warms, and it's beautiful, but it's dangerous. That's the Spirit, and it's the Spirit that Jesus is saying is unleashed in his ministry. And that Spirit's purpose, his purpose, is to set captives free, to release prisoners from everything that holds them in their prisons, to release us from our bondages, to our addictions, our compulsions, all the things that hold us back from living full, beautiful, happy lives. He's giving sight to the blind, sight that allows us to see the earth crammed with heaven. And he's proclaiming a year of favor, a time when we just know God loves us, that's the Spirit at work. And that Spirit changes things. It not only changes things, it changes people. It can change us, because we're the ones who are supposed to be free. We're the ones who have been captive to sin and now are released. We're the ones who've been blind. And now, having been healed from our spiritual blindness, we need to go out there and help other people see too. Because the Spirit not only works on us, he works in us and through us. And that's the message and the challenge of this gospel. To allow that Spirit to live in our lives powerfully. It will not happen if we are ashamed of Christ and ashamed of faith. Because then we have been held captive by the world and we haven't walked out of the prison yet. But when we allow ourselves to be different, to be holy, to live differently, to live a life of faith, then watch God work. Holy crow, he'll do so much. Thekla's photo in his office of the Christmas pageant. What he loved about that photo wasn't what it was of. He loved who was in it. Every person in that photo, the angels, the shepherds, maybe there was a wise man or two, who knows? Every person was in a maximum security prison. All of them had done bad things, but each one of them in their prisons had found Christ. And in finding Christ, they had found transformation. They were different people. And for Helmut Thekla, that photo was a reminder of the transformation that God's Spirit can work in all of our lives. So may we have the courage, each one of us, to ask every day that the Spirit of the Lord be upon us, that the Spirit anoint us to bring good news to the poor, that he send us to proclaim release to the captives in our neighborhoods, in our lives, recovery of sight to the blind, that through us the oppressed will be set free, and that all will know that we have a year of favor from God. It's Jesus' mission statement. It's also ours. May we be faithful as he was faithful. Amen. Amen. Our affirmation of